First John chapter 2. We're going to read the whole chapter first, and then we'll come back to it. My little children, 2:1. I love 1 John. Thank God 1 John is in the Bible. Amen. A hyper-Calvinist, hyper-dispensationalist say, oh, 1 John don't count for the church, but all that junk. But I know it's got tribulation undertones and all that, just like James. It's got it's to the 12 tribes of Israel. But thank God we can apply the scripture. And it gives you such an insight to things. It says, my little children, there are 7 steps for a child of God. You know that. There are 7 steps of little children, young men, fathers, elders, and then aged. And thank God that, you know, we need to grow up. We need to grow up in the Lord. Not stay little children, not stay children. And then young men, when you got people sitting in here right now. I was going to read the Bible and read it all the way through, but you got people in here in different stages of your Christian life. And you can be 30 years old in the Lord and still be a child. And there's a lot of people that get saved and still be a child. And they might not be a child in knowledge. It might be a child in action. And you see men 30 and 40 years old. They're grown men, but they're children when it comes to their actions, the way they act, and the way they conduct themselves. They always said this: men don't grow up till they're about 30 years old, and women grow up sooner than that. Most women do. Right, especially when they have a baby and all that, they have to grow up. Men like to play games. You know, men don't want the responsibility. He said, well, I took on that responsibility. But sometimes a man has to be forced into it. A young man has to be forced into responsibility. My little children, do you think right eye unto you that you sin not? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And it says, and hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which we had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And he that hate, you know, you always want a light, so you don't stumble in the night. He that hateth his brothers in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, and for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers. You see that children, fathers, and young men. He says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that's from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world is, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have the unction from the Holy One. And ye know all things. For I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist, and denied the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, that which ye have heard from the beginning. And if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And ye have not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things is truth and is no lie. Even as hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteous is born of him. I love that chapter. Man, that's great. There's a lot in there, and we can try to cover some of it. Now, we talked about last time the propitiation. That means what he did, he paid our sin debt. And then the Bible says he's an advocate. He's pleading our cause. And I thought about this. I've told you this about in Revelation, the Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's constantly accusing us day and night. And I said this one time before. I said, don't let the devil, most of the time he's telling the truth about us. Hopefully that he's, that one time in your life that he's telling a lie about you, that he would be lying to the Father about you. And it'd be a blessing, and you stood before God. Now look over in Revelation chapter 12. Look what the Bible says he does. He does this day and night. Don't you know God gets sick of that? And wouldn't it be terrible for God, him to be standing before God mentioning your name and telling the truth all the time? That'd be a terrible thing. Look at Revelation 12, look at verse 10. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So the devil's right there always accusing, always. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is interceding for us. Take your Bible, look in Hebrews chapter, chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Look in Hebrews 7. Jesus Christ is interceding. And thank God he is. He's interceding for us. But I don't want to give the devil more evidence and more things that he can accuse me before God, and unless he's just lying about me. I would be blessed if he was just lying all the time about me. But he's not always lying. He's not always lying about you and me, our thoughts and everything. That's why it's important to stay in your Bible and read and pray. It's important. Why? If you don't, your mind gets out of whack. Your heart will get out of whack. Your mind affects your heart, and your heart affects your body, and your love, and your things that you do every day. And when your heart goes, it says, "Love not the world, neither things in the world, for all that's in the world, it's the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride." When your heart goes, man, you're done. It'll destroy you. You say, "Well, what's the use of trying?" Well, you got to keep on fighting. And that's the Bible. That when the Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God," that's what the Bible's talking about the battle we're in. I was just talking to a brother on the way to church. He called me, another preacher, and I said, "Are you still in the battle?" He said, "Yes, sir, still fighting." He said, "I've been beat up some, but I'm still fighting." I said, "Good, good. You might get beat up some, and you might get some brethren talking about you, and some sisters talking about you. You might get wounded by a friend. They called it friendly fire back in Vietnam and all that stuff. And friendly fire, you hate that. You hate that a brother gets wounded and to a point where he gets knocked out by a friendly fire. It shouldn't be. I've told a brother, I said, I've had people talk about me, say all kinds of stuff. I said, but that's not going to stop me from serving him. And that's where you got to make up your mind. If you come to church, you think, well, I shouldn't have to put my guard up when I come to church. Well, you ought to be ready. You ought to have your guard up just in case. The devil would love to hit you in church and knock you out. And you always got to have your guard up. And when somebody comes to me, I know it when somebody's trying to hit me. I know it. When somebody's swinging on you, you know when they're trying to swing on you. And I know it. And I know it when people come up and said stuff to me. And they're trying to swing on me. They're trying to get me. And I don't go back at them. I really don't. I don't try to hurt them. Well, I could. I could hurt them. But I ain't going to do it. Lord, help me. The Bible talks about cursed is he that bringeth forth his sword and don't draw blood. As in Jeremiah, but I'm not going to draw blood on my brothers and sisters unless it's something when it comes to, I had to do it the other night with a brother called me up, and he said, "Why are you making no excuses?" And I said, "You are making excuses. Come on now. I said, you've been making excuses for years. And you're telling me I'm not making excuses. So I start telling him about all his excuses. And then he shut right up. And I said, look, brother, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you, man. I said, I care about you. I want to see you do something for God. Instead of sitting at home and being bitter. And that's what he is. He said, well, I've been bitter for 4 years. 4 years. Ain't going to church. Ain't doing nothing. I said, somebody in church make you bitter? He said, no. My own family. I'm talking to people all the time about this stuff like that. And, you know, I try not to hurt them, but then it comes down to a point. I pray, and I said, after I've been tender with them. And finally I say, okay, here it goes. I'm going to give it to you. And look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost to come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. I can see it up in heaven right now. The devil's right there. And when we read in Revelation 12, he's getting kicked out. But he's there now. See, is the devil in hell? No, he ain't in hell. The devil ain't in hell right now. The Bible says hell was made for the devil and his angels. But the devil ain't in hell. He's up there before the throne of God saying, look at your children down there. Look where they're acting. Look what they're saying. Look what they're doing. And the Lord said about Job, I mean, it was a righteous man. He found one guy. I wonder if the Lord was looking out to this generation, this day and time, would he find one guy? Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him by God, seeing he ever liveth and making intercession. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily that as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins. There you go, offering up sacrifice for his own sins, then for the people. And for he did once when he had offered up himself. Go to Romans 8. You not only do you have Jesus Christ making intercession for you, you've got the Holy Spirit of God that's inside you. He's got to live inside you. And like I said, we got to advocate with the Father. Thank God we do. He's making intercession for us. But I just, you know, you hear about Christians going off doing all kinds of crazy things. And you know, the Bible says God's long-suffering. And to me, as a Christian, you know, you look at somebody else's life. We always justify ourselves. But you're looking at somebody else's, so you say, how come God don't kill them? Why don't God just kill them? Why don't God just wound them? I mean, why don't he just do it to satisfy my ego? That's the way we are. We want to see God beat somebody down so we can go, he answers my prayer. Yeah, he answers my prayer. And then all of a sudden, you're going to get walked. Don't ever get to the place in your spiritual life thinking that you don't deserve to get a whooping. Don't ever think. Don't ever think that your stuff don't stink. Amen. 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 You get that place, brother, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Now look over in Romans 8, what did I say? Where is it? Romans 8 and verse 26. Here it is. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. So the Spirit of God is inside you. How does that work? The Spirit of God is God, part of the Trinity. He's inside you, and he's making intercession for what you have need of. We're praying for hitting the lottery. We're praying for a new car. We're praying for this money. God, you know, I thought about, you know, Lord, give me $1 million. Doctor used to always say, pray God, give you $1 million. Maybe he'll give it to you. But he said, you know what? If he doesn't, then he knows he can't trust you. So, but then inside, we're praying for all kinds of stuff, and the Holy Spirit's going, no, don't do that, because I'm already sick in here. I'm already getting ready to throw up. The Holy Spirit of God, can you imagine getting to heaven, and we walk into heaven, and the Holy Spirit's there, and we walk in, and the Holy Spirit walks up and slaps the snot out of you. Says, man, I had to live in you. And Bible says he makes intercession for us. It says with groanings which cannot be uttered. Man, what is that groanings which cannot be uttered? What is that? He's going, oh, God, have mercy, man. Oh, my Lord, this guy makes me sick. Just make sure when the devil's accusing you that he's not always right. Just make sure, all right? Let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. It says, hereby we know him if we keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. If you love me. And I think that's the biggest thing in our Christian walk is our love. Amen. Our love for him and love for others. Because in the same chapter, he says, if you hate your brother, you don't love your brother, then you can't say you love God. See, when it comes to dealing with love, the Bible talks about charity. Charity never faileth. Charity, you know. We don't, as Bible believers, we don't like to use that word love. But as I get older, I realize how much that love is involved in our lives. As Bible believers, when I come out of Bible school, all I want to do is breathe fire on people. Burn them up, man. But then when you grow a little bit, I said grow a little bit, children, little children, young men, you start growing a little bit, you start loving people. You start caring about people. You're supposed to love people, I mean, love you like you love your family. And I love people. I want to see my brothers and sisters succeed. There's not a brother or a sister that I don't want to see succeed. When you sit there and look at somebody and say, well, I hope they fall. And I know when I first came to this church, people wanted to see me fall and fail. They wanted to see this thing fall apart. And you say, well, they just, you know, the old pastor, I loved him. And you know, the old pastor, he wanted to see it fall. He thought, for sure, the thing's going to fall. This guy, he said, this guy don't know what he's doing. And I didn't. I didn't know what I was doing. I honestly say, I didn't know what I was doing. I tried to do something. But then after a while, he realized, hey God, if God talks about the anointing and the unction, and God talks about, if God be for you, who can be against you? I want the power of God in my life. And that's the anointing. And, you know, I hate to use that word anointing. You know why? Because the stinking charismatics messed it up. I hate to use that word because old Benny Hinn wrote a book called The Anointing. And I hate to use it. But it's Bible. It's Bible. And these guys perverted it and talked about it, you know, because he can blow people down. And, you know, you know what that showed me about Benny Hinn? He's a big bad wolf. If he blow things down. He that saith, I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And a lot of people, you know, like this guy kept saying, oh, I love the Lord. I said, well, if you loved him, you'd support the work. If you loved him, you'd be witnessing for him. If you loved him, people use that thing or that saying, I love the Lord, and they ain't doing nothing. Amen. Jesus said, if you don't keep your commandments, you don't keep my words. You're saying it with your mouth. Jesus said this, with their mouth they confess me, but their hearts are far from me. So people talk about loving the Lord, they're liars. And I'm not going to go up and say, if somebody stood up in this church and said, I just want to say I love the Lord, and I'd say, praise the Lord, amen. God knows whether they're telling the truth or not. And most of the time, half the congregation will know if they're telling the truth or not. By the way they live. So I got a kick out of y'all doing this other when Miss Debbie said she only knew the back half, and then we did that Sunday. I thought that was pretty cool, and doing the other half. But we ought to know each other. We ought to pray for one another. Amen. Like I said, the Bible believers, we don't like to use that word love because it's just been, we see the world, just they just abuse it. They abuse that word love. They abuse it and abuse it, so we back away from it. But really, if anybody ought to say, you know, talk about the love of God, it ought to be Bible believers. Because we believe the book. Amen. God is what? Love. Yep. Just does something to us. Yeah, because people abuse it. But we're not abusing it. I love God. I love you. I don't care if you love me or not. Make no difference to me. Look here, baby. I don't care what you say. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him verily is what? The love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. You want to perfect the love of God and perfect His Word? Love His Word? Love the book.
Amen.
Love the book.
Amen.
Keep the commandment.
Amen.
There's a lot of commands in the Bible. You say, well, the Ten Commandments don't apply to us. Well, you can still apply it.
Amen.
As a Christian, you know, you can still love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. It still can apply. And a lot of Christians, like I said, they abuse the word, but they really don't know what it means. It's like a guy saying, you're getting married. You know, this day and time, a lot of people say, oh, I love her. And most of the time, it's just lust.
That's right.
They lust after. But when I met my wife, it wasn't no love at first sight. It was lust at first sight.
Yep.
I'm being honest. It was just lust at first sight. And you know, we grew to love each other more.
Amen.
And as the time goes on with the Lord, you grow to love Him more. Realizing He should have wiped us out a long time ago.
Amen.
He that saith he abideth in Him ought to himself also to walk, even as He walked. And brethren, I write notes. I heard about this boy that said, Daddy. He said, Daddy, how about let me borrow the keys of the car? And he said, you get a haircut. You get your hair cut. He said, well, Jesus had long hair. He said, Jesus walked there where He went too. So, brethren, I write no new commandment on you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write on you, these things, which things is true in Him and in you, because of darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. It's a blessing when the light starts shining in your life. It's a real blessing. And it's a blessing to get out of darkness. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. And you see a lot of people, brother, you look in their eyes, there's no light. There's no light. There's darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And you, like I said, if you don't have no light, you stumble in the dark. And boy, I tell you what, when you do stumble in the dark, you stump your toe, and man, you probably say some words you shouldn't say. And you shouldn't. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And it wasn't nothing good about you. It was about him. I write on you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write on you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now you young men, it says, you young men, overcoming the wicked one. Every young man in here, even older men, the Bible says flee youthful lust. Talk about older men. We ought to be able to, as young men, you ought to be getting stronger and abstaining from fornication, abstaining from lust. You said, well, that's a battle. But if you feed it, it gets stronger. If you feed your mind and your heart with the Word of God, you get stronger. If you feed that old flesh, it'll take a hold of you.
Right.
It'll get a hold of you. Say, oh, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yes, I do.
Amen.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
That old flesh is strong, man. You know, we say we hate the flesh, but we really don't. We really don't hate the flesh. We cherish it.
Yeah.
We nourish it. Bible talks about the legs of a young man. Talks about, you know, wisdom of old man. And, you know, young men, if you can fight this world in the flesh, and young ladies, if you can fight this world in the flesh, you know what? We look around. We used to have 90 teenagers in here one time, and then we've had always had a good-sized youth group. Always had. And like the brother was just saying about getting young people. But we've always had that. But what happens is you get young people today, and I don't know where it goes. I guess they just lose that desire to fight the flesh.
Right.
And the reason why is they spend so much time with that social media.
That's right, man.
And they're looking at their phones and they're wanting to find out what so-and-so says and what so-and-so. And you walk everywhere you go, if you go into a store somewhere, you see people walking around with their phones like this looking at it. And they want to post something. They want to post something and say, like me. I always do that. I never. I've got a Facebook page, I think. I don't even know. I think it is. I don't even know how to use the thing.
Amen. Amen.
And I've even got a Twitter thing and all that. Supposedly, somebody said, you're on Twitter. I said, am I? I don't know. But I look at things, see what people are posting. That's what I look at. And I don't spend a whole lot of time in it. But I look at it, and some of the stuff is good. Some of the stuff they put. But most of the time, it's the same people wanting to be noticed.
Amen.
Always. The same people wanting to be noticed.
Amen.
I know some people on that thing, they've got 10, 12 posts a day. And they want somebody to respond and like them.
Yeah.
I don't like that stuff, man. If I want to talk to somebody, I want to call them.
Amen.
I still even hate texting. I will text, but I hate
Amen.
It.
Amen.
I hate texting.
Amen. Amen.
And I know we got the spell check and all that stuff, you know, it kind of corrects your word. But still, man, it used to be in the day. But that's what I'm saying. The social media is taking over. And you ask the young person, how much time have you spent in your Bible?
Amen.
10 minutes. How much time have you spent in social media? 3 hours.
That's why they're afraid to get out of traffic.
4 hours. And God have mercy, you got an off balance. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to God.
Amen.
You ought to spend some time in that book. And then you wonder why. How come I'm so depressed? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so... Whenever I start feeling depressed or discouraged, I read my Bible and I go out past that track.
Amen.
And boy, it picks me right up, man.
Amen.
Amen.
We was at the courthouse yesterday. We was passing our tracks yesterday in the courthouse. I was talking to the cops, Dover cops. I was talking to them. You know, after they locked me up and everything, it was fine after that. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We just went down to, Nathan taking care of some things, trying to get things together.
Amen.
That's a blessing. I'm glad to go with him.
Amen.
And we go in there witnessing people. And what a blessing, man. You know what? Talking about the light. You know, I told Nathan says, I hate this place. I hate. And I said, makes you never want to come back here. It makes you want to, if you do go back, you don't want to go back because of you. You want to go back because you're helping somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, we got to stop there. It's already quarter after, man. I've been rambling on. Brother Ken, come on. Take a prayer.